Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and share a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for tonight. I give you glory and praise. Lord, you have been so good to us. Lord, you are the unchanging changer, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, our Father, our good shepherd. You are the one who gives everything up just to go after the sheep, to rescue the sheep, to keep the sheep, to bless the sheep and preserve the sheep's life. And I thank you, God, because your word is the medium through which you do all of this. And every time you send us your word, what a blessing and what a privilege. I thank you for tonight, Lord, for everyone that is joining us, my brothers and sisters, on whatever platform they are joining us tonight. I pray, God, that you cause their ears to be inclined to your word, cause their hearts to be open, to receive understanding. And Lord, let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer. Precious Holy Spirit, we yield the ground to you. We yield the floor to you. We yield this service and this teaching ministry to you tonight. You are the great teacher. So you come and bring the illumination, the light in the word of God, and fill us with grace and understanding, and move us forward in our relationship with you. I trust you, Father. I give you glory and praise tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you again for joining us. We're about halfway through our lessons on asking. The PowerPoint that we have been learning for quite a few weeks now is the PowerPoint of asking. Asking, the place of asking in prayer. Why asking is so important. What asking really is. How to ask right and not ask amiss. How to receive answers based on our asking right. And we have learned quite a number of things just looking into the Word of God and the Scriptures. We've been in the New Testament. Lately, we've been in the Old Testament, just looking at asking, the place of asking. And I want to give you an idea of where we're going. I believe that we're about halfway through. I still have some ground to cover, so we're not there yet, but I think we're getting close to where we can say, yes, we have received a whole lot in this period of what the Lord has for us. But I want us to just delve a little bit more tonight into asking in the Old Testament, a couple of saints, Old Testament saints, and how they asked and how the Lord answered them. I want us to read a couple of those very powerful, very inspiring stories. And then I want us to go back to the New Testament. I want us to learn and read and see together the major differences, the major advantages that exist to us New Testament saints in asking. The preparation that the Lord has made for us. And how in asking, in the New Testament, we actually have this unparalleled advantage that the Old Testament saints did not have. That is so exciting to me. We're going to talk about that. I'm not sure how much of it we would get into tonight, but we'll follow the Holy Spirit and His lead and go as far as He helps us to go tonight. Then, beyond that, I want us to look, especially in the New Testament, at the two powerful words that are usually translated ask in the New Testament. These two words are so powerful, so important. One of them is used mostly, and the other one is used in a few places, but just even grasping the power and the understanding of these two words that are translated ask in the New Testament can be totally, radically life-changing from the perspective of the advantage that we have been given as saints, saints of God, children of God, who pray, who ask in the New Testament. So we're going to look at those. Then I want us to also talk a bit about, I don't know how much of that we would get into tonight, I want us to also talk a little bit about how many times, so many times, like most of what we've been talking about, and most of what we'll probably continue to talk about our next few studies here regarding asking, is asking is usually, most times, is really making requests of the Lord. We've learned, we've defined what asking from a biblical New Testament understanding is. To ask is made up of three different things. Asking is three major things in one. And the first is we articulate our request to the Lord. Articulate the request. What are the specifics? Articulate the request. The second part is to present it confidently to the Lord. And the third part is to have expectation for a favorable response. So we've seen a lot of that. So a lot of asking to New Testament saints is actually making requests of the Lord. But sometimes asking for New Testament saints is actually making a demand of Satan to give up something or to lose his hold on something or to release something and to insist on it. So most times our asking is making requests of the Lord, but sometimes our asking is actually making demands of the enemy and telling him to do some things or not do some things and making those demands in the name of Jesus Christ. So we will talk about that. And then we start winding down this aspect, start kind of wrapping it up. And the last major section that we're going to deal with in the area of asking, I'm going to have us talk about the major things, the major factors that affect our asking, how those things that impact our asking and make them effectual or non-effectual, that make them produce or unproductive. Even though we've learned a lot about asking, there are some major things, and I've pulled with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the wisdom of God, pulled a number of these things together to make our asking more effectual. I'll show you. You see from the Word of God and the things that we're going to study, and I'm trusting God that when we are all done with this aspect of praying, this most important PowerPoint in praying, this PowerPoint of asking, I'm trusting God that it will be a totally new, totally different experience for you and for me in the place of prayer. When we come, that there will be not just the confidence, but there would also be just the undeniable power of our petitions, our requests that go up to the Lord in heaven, and just a delivery of results and results and results that the Lord continues to give to us. All right, so let's start out tonight from our grandfather scripture on asking in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. The Amplified Bible says, now to him who by, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, all dreams. To him be glory in the church. Hallelujah. To him who is able to do exceeding abundantly. This much we have learned in the area of asking. How the Lord responds to our asking is that he always gives us so much more than we ask or think. He always gives us so much more. The baseline of what the Lord gives to us is what we ask. That's why asking is very important. Because the Lord always gives so much more. Hashtag, we ask for so much less, but he gave us so much more. That's the way the Lord always works. He gives us exceeding abundantly, over and above, beyond, far above anything we could ever ask or think. That is so powerful. Now, in the New Testament, we have read and studied passages like in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek you'll find, knock the door will be opened, and many other scriptures that command us to ask in the New Testament, and on and on and on like that. And then we've gone to the Old Testament. The Old Testament is where we have been lately, and I know that a couple of scriptures, and I really don't want to read too many of them, but like I said, the two major Old Testament saints, a man and a woman, whose prayers and whose asking I want us to read about tonight. Just cap out our studies in the Old Testament on asking with these two Old Testament saints. But before we do that, let's look at these two prophets. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. He, the prophet Zechariah, is the one who commanded us to ask for rain. This is an instruction in scripture. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Ask you of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord will make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Amen. I really love that. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. Somebody say, well, it's already time for rain. Why do I need to ask the Lord? Because if we don't ask, we don't have. You can say, yes, it is springtime. It's time for the latter rain. Oh, yes, this is the time when rain usually comes. But the Lord still says, ask. Ask, make that request. Articulate it. Because if we don't ask, we don't have. And I really love this. Ask for rain in the time of the latter rain. And the Lord, he says, the Lord will give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field. So we are all in this. The blessing of the Lord is for all of us. It's not just for a hand selected few. This is not only for the preachers, the prophets, the apostles, those who really know everything in the Bible. No. This is for all the saints. Ask, he says, and he will give to everyone, including you, grass in the field. Now, Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah, this is a scripture that we all, it's so beloved to all of us, I'm sure. If you know this scripture, this is one of those ones that just makes our heart dance, leap. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you know not. In the Amplified, it says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand. This scripture here reminds me of James chapter 1, verse 5, which we studied that already. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. Let him ask. And the Lord will give you freely without upbraiding, he says. But he says, let him ask in faith. For if you ask doubting, you are like, you are like the Bible says, a ship on the sea that is tossed to and fro. And a double-minded man will never receive anything from the Lord. Well, Prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament says, if we call on the Lord, if we ask him, he will answer us. And he will show us great and mighty things. Things of wisdom and knowledge and insight and understanding. And steps, sometimes, that we're not aware of, that actually would lead to the miracles that we desire. A lot of times, some of the things we ask the Lord for are actually already there. We just need to see how to find it. We need to see our way clearly to know how to get there. Amen. Sometimes it's already there. Like Moses, who lifted up his voice, you know, in the Old Testament, in Exodus, shortly after they came out of Egypt. And they were in this place called Marah. There was water, but the water was bitter. And of course, the children of Israel didn't know how to ask the Lord for anything. They never knew how to. They knew how to cry a lot, but just didn't know how to ask in prayer. But Moses did. And Moses went to the Lord and asked the Lord, Lord, there's water, but it's bitter water. See, in that situation, the miracle was already there. They just needed to see how to get to it. There was water. First, they went through a stretch where they didn't have water. Now they came to a place where there was water, and the water was bitter. So Moses lifted up his voice, Lord, it's bitter water, Mara. And the Lord told him, hey, look at those trees. Put those trees in the water, and they'll become waters of life that will be just the exact kind of water that you need to sustain life for all of you, all of these pilgrims. So he did, took the trees, put them in the water, and there, the bitterness was destroyed, was eliminated, was removed. The water became sweet like pure water, fresh spring water, like we all drink. See, in that case, the miracle was already there, but asking caused the eyes of Moses to be open. How many times are the things that we're actually asking the Lord for are already there? Here we are just laboring and laboring and laboring and thinking that the answer is so far away, the miracle is so far-fetched, but it's already there for us. We just can't see it. And the prophet Jeremiah said, call unto me, ask. James said, ask the Lord. If you lack, any of you lack wisdom, ask. And Jeremiah said, if you ask, I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, which you do not distinguish, he said, which you do not recognize or have knowledge of or understand. He said, I will show you those things. Oh, saints, that is so powerful, you know. The Lord said he will open our eyes. Amen. Just receive that grace of opening of eyes tonight. Opening of your eyes. To be able to see distinctly, clearly. Sometimes we can even see, but we see like, you know, almost like that blind man that Jesus touched. Said, I see men like trees. So we don't see clearly. We don't see distinctly. There's still a lot of confusion. Is it this? Is it that? I'm not sure what step. Is it there? Is it here? I don't know. But in asking, the Lord can make things clear to you. If you articulate that, Lord, Lord, help me see clearly. Like blind Bartimaeus. The Lord said, what do you want me to do? Say, Lord, that I might see. I want my sight back. This time I want to see clearly, spiritually. I want to see clearly, mentally. I want to see clearly in my career, in my family, this family problem that has plagued us for years. Lord, I want to see clearly, to know where the miracle, to know what the solution is. Oh, hallelujah. Saints, when we ask the Lord, the prophet Jeremiah said, he will answer us and he will show us great and mighty things. Fenced in. Hidden, which you do not know, which you do not distinguish. The Lord will simply make them clear. How many of us have been in that place where you see multiple things and you think it could be this, it could be that, it could be that one, it could even be something I've not thought about. But when the Lord makes things clear to you, you don't even have those situations. It's just so clear. You just go for it. This is it. This is it. Right here. This is it. There can be 100 other things lined up that you know that's not this, not this is it right here. You go for it, and there it is. You have the miracle. So ask, call unto him, and he will show you great and mighty things. Last time we studied the story of Jehoshaphat, who asked. He asked the Lord for help when these great armies came against him. We know what the Lord did for him. We know the supernatural intervention, divine intervention that Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah experienced. You and I can experience the same thing when we ask, when we articulate our request. All right, praise the Lord. Now, tonight, I want us to read about these two Old Testament saints, one man and one woman, whose this aspect of their interaction with the Lord really brings out a lot of things about effectual praying and asking right, and how the Lord answers the prayers of the saints when we ask right. One of them, the woman Hannah, we know both of these stories very well, but I'm still going to have us read them. Praise God. There's power in just reading the Word of God. There's power in just learning the Word of God. And so I'm not just going to rattle off about these stories. I'm going to actually have us read them. But Hannah, I'm not going to spend too much time on her, because later on in our teachings, when we talk about the factors that affect asking, the factors that impact asking, what makes asking more effectual, makes it less effectual, makes it productive, makes it unproductive, we're going to come back and talk a bit more about Hannah and why her prayer, her asking, was so effectual, why it had the potential to produce in her life and in her family. So we're still going to read that tonight, read just about her praying and how the Lord met her at the point of her need because she asked. But later on, I'm still going to revisit the story of Hannah. Amen. The other person is Hezekiah. We're actually going to start from Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a king in Israel, in Judah. Like, we're going to read his story out here first in 2 Chronicles and chapter 31. Let's read a few things here about King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles, first let's read 20 and 21, because that leads us into chapter 32. So this is chapter 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 20 and 21. Those are the last two verses in chapter 31, but I want those to lead us into chapter 32, where we're going to read a few verses and read a few more things about Hezekiah and some of the miracles that the Lord gave him here because he asked. Hallelujah. All right, look at it right here. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. I like that very much. He did that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. You see a lot in the Old Testament, and when we get to it, you will see some of the scriptures we're going to look at. Actually, some of them are out of the Old Testament. But these things about what impacts our praying, what makes our praying more effectual, less effectual, more productive, less productive, you see that there are quite a number of factors. Praying doesn't stand. Asking never exists on its own in isolation without a context. There's always something that gives substance, credibility to our asking of the Lord. You can't just jump out and ask the Lord for this and ask the Lord for that. And I mean, you can if you want, but you may not have standing. You may not have good standing before the Lord. Sometimes this impacts a lot of believers' prayers. Yes, you can learn everything we're teaching about asking. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But we can learn everything there is to learn about asking, and asking right, and articulating our requests, and presenting it confidently, and having expectation for a favorable response, and all of that. Yes, great. But asking never stands in isolation. There's always things that give a standing to our asking. Certainly one of them is what we're seeing with Hezekiah. The Bible says he did that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. Certainly those impact our praying. Those impact our asking. when the Lord is pleased with us, when we do things that are good and right and pleasing to the Lord, certainly that gives us greater standing in the place of asking. You can ask, you can have someone who never really pays attention to the things of God, never seeks to please God, never, you know, remembers God, and then suddenly they have this big need. And now they are going to sleep at the altar. They are going to sleep at the altar in the church every night, fasting and praying, fasting and praying. Lord, hear me. Lord, hear me. Well, they may not have a standing. They may know all the things we're learning about asking, but they may not have a good enough standing. Amen. You see that when we get there. So, verse 21, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and he prospered. Oh, I love that. He sought the Lord with all his heart. You know that the Bible says, if you seek me with all your heart, you find me. If we see God have baked hearts, we see God a little bit, you know, come see attitude. Well, we won't find him. But when we seek him with all our heart, like Hezekiah did, he says, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Hallelujah. I like the way the Amplified Bible puts it. It says, every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in keeping with the law and commandments, to seek his God, inquiring of and yearning for him. Inquiring of and yearning for him. He did it with all his heart, and he prospered. He did it with all his heart. When asking involves all our heart, our entire being, asking becomes effectual. Prayer becomes effectual. When asking is just a mental exercise, it's just, oh, as a last resort, I better pray, I better ask, we don't really necessarily receive answers. Hezekiah shows us in the Old Testament that there are things that give standing to the prayer, the person who is praying, that enables them to stand in a good place so that God can answer their prayer. Somebody say amen to this. Now, let's go on to chapter 32. And we're going to read quite a number of verses here. Let's read to verse 8 for starters. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Still talking about Hezekiah. He says, and after these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? I really like this part of it because they thought about some things. I really like sometimes the combination of prayer and devotion to God and thinking, godly, sound godly thinking that produces sound judgment, sound strategies. It's part of what we're seeing here. Hezekiah, remember the foundation for him, he sought the Lord with all his heart. And then this Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came against him. And one of the first things that came up in his mind was, let's stop all the fountains of water because they surrounded them. Let's stop so that they don't have access to water. And if you don't have access to water, you are famished. You are thirsty. You are weakened. That entire army is. And Sennacherib had a huge army. And so the thinking of Hezekiah and his princes, his assistants, let's stop the flow of water out to the Assyrians, to Sennacherib and his army. And in doing that, they in fact immediately accomplished something. Now, I believe Part of why they had that thought was because his heart was devoted to the Lord. Was because he had regular communion with God. You know what we call meditation sometimes? Really does produce thoughts. Produces thoughts that create strategies for success. Amen. Sometimes people look at meditation as just meditating in the word. But meditation has two meanings. Meditation is thinking about the word, but it's also thinking around the parameters of the word about the issues of life that we're dealing with. I hope you got that, because that's not my message tonight, but at some point, we're going to talk about that when we talk about breaking limits and the aspect of thinking. Where you see meditation, the Bible says believers should meditate in the word day and night. Meditate day and night. There are two aspects to that meditation. One, it is meditating in the word of God. That's the basis. That's the foundation. But there's also, so it's meditating, thinking, and ruminating over the word of God. But there's also the other aspect of thinking within the parameters of the word of God concerning the issues of life that we are facing. Thoughts within the parameters of the word of God over issues of life that we're dealing with. And sometimes we'll find thoughts arising in our minds. Sometimes we'll find thoughts arising, just coming out of our minds. Sometimes we'll say, I don't know where that thought came. It came sometimes out of our spirit being. They come into our mind from the Holy Spirit. And they are thoughts that can produce strategies to help us succeed. You remember God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you meditate therein day and night and observe to do according to all that is written therein. It says, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. This is by meditating the word day and night. But notice, it's thinking within the word itself, but also thinking within the parameters of the word regarding the issues of life that we're dealing with. Hallelujah. That's not my subject tonight. But I just want you to see, Hezekiah received thoughts because of his devotion to God. And those thoughts immediately put him on the path of victory. Let's keep reading here. He says, he took counsel, and in verse 4, they gathered much people together. They stopped all the water flow to the Assyrians. Verse 5, also Hezekiah strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. What's he doing? He's still working. He's still putting together a strategy for success. He's still preparing a great strategy for success, building the walls, fixing aspects in the city of David, areas that can make them more vulnerable to the attack of the Assyrian king. And then when he gets done with all of that, he goes into creating this factory where they just produce swords and weapons of war in abundance. All of this came out of thoughts that were produced from his devotion to God. Hallelujah. Verse 6, and he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city. And he spoke comfortably to them. I love this. Listen now. He spoke comfortably to them and he said, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than there are with him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That's the king, not a prophet talking. That's the king, not a prophet. That's like, you know, kings represent professionals in the Old Testament. The priests in the Old Testament represent like, you know, the priests are like our prophets, our pastors, our ministers today, our spiritual leaders today. But kings really were the professionals. They were like the career people. They were like the people in the marketplace. Well, this king had prophetic insight. He had priestly insight because of his devotion to the Lord. Some say, oh, wow. I thought we were talking about asking in prayer. Yes, we are. And you see it in just a minute. Yes, we are. And you see it how just even his being in that good place in his devotion with God, devotion to God, how that put him in a good stead when it came time to ask. And just like that, not just here, but in other situations, in here and in many others, including when it came to his own health situation, he was able to ask. And just like that, the Lord granted him what he was requesting. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read that to you again, verse 7, because I think somebody needs to hear that. He said to them, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than there are with him. That's an Old Testament king talking. There's more with us. He's not talking about the numbers in his army. Mm-mm. If it was that, the natural numbers, they were already done for. They were finished. Because they could not match what Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, was bringing at them. But he said there is more. That's in the spirit there is more. That God is with us. And you see, he says that in just a minute right here. You see it. He said God is with us. They have something, but what they have is of the flesh. And you know, the Bible says the arm of the flesh will fail you. There are people who are leaning on the arm of the flesh, depending on the arm of the flesh, and then treating prayer like just one of those secondary things. Oh, well, we better pray, so at least we can say we prayed. And those prayers have no standing. You're leaning more on the arm of the flesh. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, cursed is the man who trusts in the flesh, who trusts in the arm of the flesh. That's what Hezekiah is saying here. Listen to, he said, for there is more with us than is with him. Verse 8, with him, watch this, with him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us. Hallelujah. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. With us, say that with me, with us, with me, say that, personalized, with me, with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Say it again, with us, with me is the Lord our God, the Lord my God, to help me and to fight my battles. Glory to God, glory to God. That man knows what he's talking about. He said all he has is the arm of the flesh. Yeah, he may have three times the army that we have, but all it is the arm of the flesh. Those will fail you. He said, but with us is the Lord our God who will help us. And he will fight our battles. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, just that one just, that just sweetens my belly. I can't even tell you how much. Oh, with us, saints. With us is the Lord our God to help us. To help us to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. I like that. They heard his word. They believed it. And they said, okay, they went to rest. And they said, all right, we got this. The Lord our God is our help. He'll fight our battles. Praise God. No matter what Sennacherib brings, the Lord our God is with us. The Bible says they rested. You know, resting is a sign of faith. Where there is faith, there is rest. Where there is no faith, there's agitation. There's panic and despair. But where there's faith, there's rest. Bible says that they that have faith. Some people could not enter into God's rest because they did not have faith, he says in Hebrews chapter 4. But he says those that received the word of God with faith in their heart, they entered into his rest. Amen. He said, the Lord our God is with us to help us to fight our battles. And the people went to sleep. Now, I want you to listen to the boasting of Sennacherib. Because sometimes this sounds very much like the way the devil makes noise. He sends, creates a lot of noise and situations. And sometimes he's so loud around us, you can't really hear anything else. But it's just noise. That's all it is. And we need to understand that. Listen to the noise Sennacherib is making in verse 15. It says, now therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner, neither yet believe him. For no God, listen to what Sennacherib is saying, this foolish man, for no God of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hand? You see, he's a stupid man. He's talking about the gods of these nations. These gods that are dead, these idols, he's comparing them with Jehovah God. He's saying, well, no gods, none of these nations that said they have power and trust in a God, none of them have been delivered by their gods. So forget about what Hezekiah is saying. Well, guess what? This our God is the true God. This our God is Jehovah God. Do you know who you pray to, who you ask, who you make requests of? He is Jehovah God. You remember when the prophet Elijah, when all these prophets of Baal, and they had this contest, they call on your prayer, call on your God, I call on my God. And they call from morning till night, and nothing. And the Bible says when Elijah called, suddenly the Lord answered by fire. Suddenly. He is the living God. He's not the God of the dead, and he's not a dead God. He is the living God. Amen. Now, of course, Sennacherib didn't know that, but he's about to find that out. He's about to know. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, don't listen to him. Your God won't deliver you. Now, look at verse 16. And his servant spoke yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel. He's still pumping himself up, but he's about to be hit. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of my hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of my hand. No, you're about to find out, you fool. You fool, Sennacherib. You are about to find out the God of Hezekiah is the true living God. Is the Jehovah God, the true living God. He's different. He's different. Folks, our God is different. Our case is different. Our story is different. We serve the living God. We serve the true God, Jehovah God. We serve him. He is our King. He is our Lord. That's who we serve. He's alive forevermore. Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall to make them afraid, to trouble them that they might take the city. See, that's really the goal of everything Satan does, is to make you lose your faith, to make you afraid. Some lifted up their voices, sounding like the Jews, to make those on top of the wall afraid. And they spoke against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of man. And for this cause, now listen to this, verse 20. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried to heaven. They prayed and cried to heaven. They lifted up their voices and asked. And you're going to begin to see they asked of the Lord. They made their request of the Lord. They petitioned the God of heaven. And when they did, the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame. Watch this. Sennacherib returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was coming to the house of his own God, they that came forth out of his bowels, his children, slew him there with the sword. They killed him with the sword. After all this noise he was making, his own children killed him when he went into the temple of his idols. Verse 22, thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all the other, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem, and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from henceforth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had good standing and he prayed. And because he had good standing and he asked, the Lord answered him. Now, I'm going to read to you. We're going to go to Isaiah 38 and read about his sickness and how, again, he did the same thing. But before we do that, I want to show you how he prayed for the people. So just back up a little bit. We're going to back up a little bit. Hallelujah. I believe it's 2 Chronicles 30. Back up a little bit. 2 Chronicles 30, look at verse 17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It says from verse 17, for there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean to sanctify them unto the Lord. Verse 18, for a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. They contradicted and violated the instruction of the Lord regarding the Passover. And they were about to be hurt. These were the people of Israel. Hezekiah was their king. They were about to be hurt. But listen to this. He says, but, in verse 18, but Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. He articulated a request before the Lord. Verse 20, and the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. I love that very much. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 20. The Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Hezekiah was not a prophet. He was not a priest. He wasn't a prophet like Moses. He wasn't a priest like Moses. He was just a king. But he knew the Lord his God. He had a place with God. And he knew to ask God. He knew how to articulate his request before the Lord. And even when the people didn't deserve the mercy of God, the Bible says Hezekiah lifted up his voice and prayed for them. And God hearkened. He asked. He asked of the Lord that the Lord would spare them. The Lord hearkened to the prayer of Hezekiah. I love it. Let's go quickly to Isaiah chapter 38. Go there real quickly. We're running out of time here. Isaiah chapter 38. I've got to close this out. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I give you praise tonight. I give you the glory and the praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read Isaiah chapter 38 from verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you will surely die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord. He actually articulated. I don't think we get to Hannah tonight, but we'll do something very short with Hannah in our next service. Very short before we go on to this New Testament advantage that we have. We've got to go there real quick, real soon. But I want you to see this. He was sick. Hezekiah was sick, and it was clear he was about to die. And the prophet came to him, Isaiah came to him and said, hey, get your house in order, you're going to die. This is a verdict from heaven. This was not Sennacherib. This was not some ungodly king. This was a verdict from heaven. Get your house in order, you're going to die. And Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall. I love it. That tradition still exists today in Israel. They pray around the wall. That age-old tradition. One of the first pioneers of that was Hezekiah. He turned his face towards the wall. That's a man who knows how to commune with God. In that time of distress and difficulty, the Bible says he turned his face toward the wall and he prayed unto the Lord. And he said, listen, he articulated. And he said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He wept sore, but he prayed, he articulated. Verse 4, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. I love that. Behold, I will add to you, to your days, 15 years. Oh, glory to God. I have heard your prayer. I love that. I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. What a glorious God. What a compassionate God our Father is. I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. You know, child of God, even when a lot of times we hide our tears and we're so conscious and so aware of our environment and people, and we don't necessarily want people to know some of the things that we're dealing with, and we hide our tears. God can see those tears. Those tears are not meaningless to him. He said to Hezekiah, I've heard your prayers and I've seen your tears. That I've heard what you articulated, but I've also seen your heart. I've seen your passion. Oh, glory to God. And he said, behold, I will add unto you 15 years. 15 years. He said, and I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And you know, if you go further down to verse 17, you'll see how after he had been healed, how Hezekiah articulated further. So a lot of this is praise. I gotta stop. Hallelujah. A lot of it is praise, but a lot of it is articulating what he expressed to the Lord. In verse 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. For the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot celebrate you. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living he shall praise you, as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known your truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing songs, my songs, to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you tonight. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the place that you have given to us through the Holy Spirit. This place of communion, where we can turn our faces to the walls of life and we can lift up our voices to you, Lord. And we can cry out to you like Hezekiah did. We can articulate the thoughts of our hearts, the passions, the cries, and speak words to you. Articulate our requests before you and make them known. Lord, we thank you for your blessing, the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your mighty presence around us, how you shield us, the standing that you have given to us in your presence. We give you the glory and we give you the praise tonight. I speak the blessing of heaven upon my brothers and sisters. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare you are blessed of the Lord, you and your loved ones. I declare the rest of this month, the rest of this week is blessed for you. The glory of God is upon you. The Lord God himself will establish you. Like Hezekiah said, he will help you and he will fight your battles. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.